Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And welcome to everyone who's joining us on the internet. This next chapter is called The Journey Back. And I'll be frank with you, we may not get to the beginning of the chapter because there are some things that need to be addressed first. Sort of as a review. Imagine, if you will, a young man or young woman who's grown up in a rough part of town. Life has been difficult. Life is a struggle for survival. There is little time for kindness. There is little time for giving one's attention to anyone else but oneself and what one's needs are, and how in a hostile environment to get those needs met. One who grows up in an environment like this is not provided with a language for healing. A language for, I'm going to say, behavior which contributes to the whole and uplifts it, transforms it positively. And before an individual who has grown up in this environment can begin to behave in a new way that is contributive, there needs to be a new language provided. In a dog-eat-dog world, the words kindness, thoughtfulness, appreciation, integrity, and mutual consideration. These words don't show up in the everyday conversation. And what does show up in the everyday conversation confirms the status quo. The course, and everything I have been sharing with you, gives you a language of healing. A language of healing. How many of you in here can think in French? If you don't know the language, you can't think in French. How many of you can think in English? Every one of you. Now, it's easy to understand that if you don't know how to speak French, you can't think in French. If you don't know how to think in language of healing, you can't have the evidence of healing. Now, I have been providing language for healing, but there's not enough, for lack of better words, thinking in terms of healing going on. You're still thinking in the old language. There are two instances that occurred this past week that I would like to highlight and amplify on. One of them, someone said, well, if you're not awake, you shouldn't bang your head against a wall if you don't want to have a headache. If you're not awake, you shouldn't do such and such if you don't want to suffer. Now, this is language of confirmation for the state of ignorance that you're all experiencing. In a way, it's like saying, well, if you're in the human condition, you can't expect more than such and such if you engage in a particular activity. Now, this is careless thinking. It's careless thinking when you know better, when you've had language of healing provided. The current language says you all exist in the human condition. Well, that's a lie. You exist in the kingdom of heaven. You are divine. And anything different from that that is being perceived is a misperception of what's going on. I keep saying, you're not in the human condition. I keep saying that you are in the middle of the kingdom of heaven with your eyes all squinched up saying, I cannot see the perfection. In a way, it's like the statement is like saying, well, because I cannot see the perfection, I shouldn't expect to see the perfection. I would be asking too much. Now, the other instance was that someone was asked, how are you? And this individual said, well, I'm not feeling very well. A cold must be coming on. The new language of healing, the new language of recognizing such, let us say, a physical experience as a call for correction, wasn't brought into play. It was just sort of accepted. I think a cold is coming on. As though there were such a thing as a cold that has a life of its own that was going to come in and do its dirty work and then go on its way. And no choice was to be had about it. What I'm trying to point out is, let's not be lazy. If you know the truth, if the truth is being presented to you, if language of healing is being provided to you, let's use it. Well, someone might say, that's being proactive. And that sounds like willfulness to me, and I don't want to get willful here. And if I say, well, you know, if you bang your head against a wall, you can expect a headache, I'm not being proactive, I'm being really very passive about it. Or if a cold is coming on, and, you know, that's just the way it is, I'm not being proactive, I'm really being very passive. But I'm going to tell you something. Every thought is proactive. If you say, if I'm not awake, I can't expect anything more than a headache if I bang my head against a wall, that is a proactive statement that sets into place or confirms your incarceration in an illegitimate environment of sin, disease, and death, suffering. If you say, I think a cold is coming on, I don't feel too well, I think a cold is coming on, that is a proactive statement. Every thought you think is proactive and either establishes your freedom or re-establishes your incarceration. That's very important. Every thought is proactive. Another way of saying it is every thought is causative. Now, a thought that is not based on truth, a thought that is in error, stated, doesn't actually create anything except dissonance in you, because you are attempting to function at odds with your nature and at odds with your very being, and you can't do that without being uncomfortable. So, it has an effect, you could say, but you know what? It's like if you kick God, who is immovable, your toe is going to come into the experience of the immovability of God, and that the attempt to kick against God can't effect anything. And that recognition is a strong recognition. You say it hurts. And you say it's because you're in the human condition and you have a material toe and blah, blah, blah. But it isn't because you're in the human condition and it isn't because you have a material toe. It's because in your mind you are acting at odds with the way things work. And you can't do that without a reminder that you are attempting the impossible and you cannot succeed. Now, we're going to go someplace else. We're going to go into a mental institution, and we're going to visit the patients. One thing that all of the patients will tell you is they want to go home. They want to go home. If they could go home, everything would be all right. They belong at home. They want to be there. But the interesting thing is that they are there because they are having misperceptions of reality that cause them not to be very functional in reality. You see, when we're awake, we won't get a headache when we bang our head against a wall. When we're awake, we won't get colds. In the meantime, though, don't bang your head against a wall, and don't think to challenge the first evidences of a cold as being illegitimate and not divinely real. For the person in the insane asylum, the call is for the abandonment of hallucinations right there in the insane asylum. They must become clear, lucid, reasonable, seeing clearly there before they can leave. Why am I saying this? Because healing is not something that will happen after you wake up, after you go home. The waking up occurs right where you are, quote, in the human condition, unquote. Why? Because the human condition is nothing more than the kingdom of heaven misperceived and believed. The language of healing is the language of correction. Correction of what? All the bad stuff that goes on in a material world? No. In the mind, that is misperceiving the kingdom of heaven. If in your everyday thinking you think that it's not a wise idea to bang your head against a wall because you'll get a headache, you will not be prepared if you happen to fall down and hit your head on something. You will not be prepared to immediately say, this is not true. There can be no injury where there is no matter. There can be no injury where the only substance there is of head or table or floor or wall is the energy of spirit, which is love, and therefore no injury can come of that interaction, let us say. You will not be quick to challenge the first evidences of a cold, because you weren't quick to recognize the misperception in your mind that allowed for a definition to be given to the bad physical sensations that caused you to determine that a cold was coming on. You need to be alert. You need to be conscious all the time. Do you realize that the person in the insane asylum who wants to go home, meaning to their family, to their house, to the community they live in, do you realize that they must come home in their mind first? Waking up is coming home into your natural divine clarity, so that you are not inserting misinterpretations of everything between you and everything you're seeing, which is in actuality the kingdom of heaven. So, you might want to start saying, I look forward to the experience of banging my head against a wall and having no negative results. I look forward here and now to not being imposed upon by a cold coming on. I look forward to returning clarity right here in the middle of the insane asylum. It isn't going to happen out there when I'm back at home. I want clarity, and I want that clarity to be available to me in this instance, in this instant, in this place I find myself in, wherever that might be, and I expect to see different results, results different from the ones I had when I was not using language of healing in my thinking processes. Now are you the sons and daughters of God. Now is when the kingdom of heaven is happening, and here is where it is happening. And you are each the Christ with the capacity to see it as it is, and you need to want to see it enough not to let yourself sloppily think in the language of conflict, and especially not to justify it. Don't justify suffering, because what can you expect? We're in the human condition. That's language that needs to be kicked out. That is language not to be allowed. Why? Because it doesn't allow for healing. It doesn't allow for a sudden shift of perception. It constantly reconfirms the status quo, your current beliefs. So watch the language you use, because it will either confirm your freedom or it will confirm your suffering. It will confirm your incarceration. Remember, this isn't all lovely words to benefit you in the sweet by and by. These are words of transformation. These are words of healing. These are words of correction right where you are. Because right where you are, quote, in the human condition, unquote, is where the waking up will do, is where the going home will do. And the going home will be a matter of abandoning the language of suffering for the language of healing. And the thinking that accompanies that, and the responses that arise out of that, the responses that immediately correct a sloppy language of suffering thought. Too proactive for you? Well, remember that the thoughts that don't challenge the status quo proactively confirm it. Don't tolerate illness. Don't tolerate suffering because you're not awake yet. Else you hold on to the suffering and you confirm the dream a little longer. You've got to be willing to shake things up. In the world? No. In your thinking processes. You're always giving voice to one of two teachers, the voice for truth or the ego, the voice for fear. Whichever you are giving voice to, you are confirming. And whatever you confirm, you are bound to. Would you not likely like to be bound to freedom? Oh, well, that requires me to take a stand. Well, when you say you're going to get a headache, if you hit your head against a wall, you're standing for something. You are standing for something. You're standing for suffering and for continuing to be locked into an illusion. At every moment, you are standing for something. The journey back is the journey back to your right mind. The journey back is a journey into your innate divine clarity, your sanity. It's not a journey back to the kingdom of heaven somewhere off in the distance. The journey back is you desiring to see the kingdom of heaven that is in front of you as the kingdom of heaven instead of what you have come to believe it is, a belief which you reinforce as long as you are not correcting it with the language of healing that you are learning. Well, I can feel the cold coming on. I better go get the echinacea. Oh, you are interested in correction. Obviously, you're interested in correction. But why not catch the thought and step back from the initial thought? Oh, a cold is coming on. Step back from it. No, that's not true. Beliefs come to me for life, and I give them all the life they have. I am not going to entertain this belief that a cold is coming on. You see, correct it by stepping back from the thought and the definition you gave. Step back from it to an acknowledgement of the truth that you have learned using the language of healing. And be clear ahead of time that if you do hit your head against a wall, you don't need to suffer for one moment. Be clear about that ahead of time. Because spirit interacting with spirit is purely harmonious. And there can be no injury from the interaction of the energy of love. It's your birthright, if you happen to bump your head, not to suffer from it, even for a split second. If you don't see that this language of healing that you are learning is giving you the capacity to be free here and now in what you're calling the human condition from suffering, then you are as lost as you were before anybody gave you the language of healing. And that's not its purpose. I want you all to become a little bit more indignant when something presents itself to you that suggests that suffering is inevitable because blah, 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 not the least of which is that right now you're in the human condition. No, you're not in the human condition any more than you're in this lifetime. It's bad language. It's language that will not free you. It won't free you because it's not the truth. The language of truth will free you. Why? Because it will cause you not to be arguing against your own good. It will cause you not to be in a state of proactively denying reality. And when you're not denying reality, there is no dissonance between you and reality. And that's when a sudden shift of perception can occur. You could say that's when the Father can take the last step. Again, you're going to have to give up your illusions right here in the insane asylum. You're going to have to give up your illusions right in the middle of whatever definition you're giving to the kingdom of heaven, which is the only thing that's in your face. And you're going to have to do it consciously, alertly, with great curiosity, and an element of adventure. But don't put it off into the future. Bring it into play right here and right now, because right here and right now is where you are deluded. And it's not because you're in an environment of delusion. You're not in an environment of illusions. You're in the middle of the kingdom of heaven. If this isn't true, then we might as well stop reading the Course. You might as well stop studying it. You might as well stop considering what it's saying. It's not just a bunch of nice ideas to store away in your memory, to draw upon to comfort you while you suffer through things that are not even real. So, what am I saying? I'm saying be more proactive in terms of your healing. Be more proactive in terms of having very low tolerance for the imposition of suffering. And understand that the abolishment of suffering is going to happen right where you are, right now. And it will happen whether you're totally awake or not. It will happen whether you're deserving or not. So, cast your vote. Put your weight on the side that you want freedom, instead of putting your full weight, casting your vote on the side of suffering and what can you expect, or in the human condition. It's like saying, well, of course I'm insane. I'm in an insane asylum. If they just let me out of here, everybody would see I was fine. In the insane asylum is where the one who is insane will get well. In the human condition, at whatever level of development you are, you will begin to have the evidences of waking up as you choose for clarity. And what happens? What happens in the middle of your inevitable suffering? You have a healing. A healing, a clarification, a transformation. Maybe it's not earth-shaking, maybe it isn't universally impactful. But each time you have the experience of banging your head and not hurting, every time the sensation of a cold coming on occurs and you say, I don't buy it, I object. And it goes away. You're demonstrating the fact that you will wake up right where you are and each of those events will weaken tremendously the hold that the status quo has on you, that the language of suffering has on you. So instead of saying, don't be surprised if you get a headache when you bump your head against a wall, start saying, don't be surprised if you don't suffer at all when you bump your head against a wall. There's quite a difference there. One is an open door to expansion into total freedom. It undoes the status quo. So, don't be lazy and sloppy. Start taking hold of your birthright. Let's go to the book. The Journey Back. For those of you who are in the first or second editions, just be patient. There's some text here that you do not have. You are hampered in your progress by your demands to know what you do not know. And I'm going to add, because it was implicit in what I was saying, you are hampered in your progress by your demands to know what you do not know before you will continue to move forward. I was addressing this to Helen and Bill. It's true for everyone else as well. You are always hampered in your progress by your demands to know what you do not know before you will proceed forward. This is actually a way of holding on to deprivation. You cannot reasonably object to following instructions in a course for knowing on the grounds that you do not know. The need for the course is implicit in your objection. Now here's the correction. Knowledge is not the motivation for learning this course. Peace is. As the prerequisite for knowledge, peace must be learned. This is only because those who are in conflict are not peaceful, and peace is the condition of knowledge, because it is the condition of the kingdom. It's a very simple thing. You cannot know the truth if you are not in your peace. If you want to know the truth, you must choose for your peace first and get into it. Truth is a singularity, and it cannot be perceived through the lens of conflict. Continuing, knowledge, or what I have referred to as knowing with a capital K, will be restored when you meet its conditions. This is not a bargain made by God, who makes no bargains. It is merely the result of your misuse of His laws on behalf of a will that is not His. When you say, "My will be done, my definitions be done, my word be done," what you're doing is playing at having a will, playing at being an independent willer of things. The only thing is that that independent state, that so-called independent state, is something you have imagined. It isn't a state that can exist, because you can't be separated from your source and its will, which is your true will, and so you are inevitably in a state of conflict when you are being willful. Knowledge is His will, God's will. If you are opposing His will, how can you have knowledge? Any of you who has been in a state of worry and fear and conflict, who has chosen to set it aside temporarily in order to meditate and become still, has found that in the stillness, clarity comes. Knowing what is appropriate comes. Knowing what is true comes. And in knowing what is true, you know what you don't need to be concerned about. You know what is illusory and is therefore not worthy of your attention, and you set it aside. And you realize that the very state of conflict that you were in was a result of being out of your peace in the first place. Continuing, I have told you what knowledge offers you, but it is clear that you do not regard this as wholly desirable. If you did, you would hardly be willing to throw it away so readily when the ego asks for your allegiance. Well, part of the problem is that the ego asks for your allegiance in the language of suffering, a language you're well familiar with. And out of habit, you tend to join with it. Because the language of healing is not as firmly established in you, and you have not arrived at enough clarity about it to give your allegiance to it, no matter what is said to you in the old language. Continuing, the distraction of the ego seems to interfere with your learning, but the ego has no power to distract you unless you give it the power. I said earlier that beliefs come to you for life and you give them all the life they have. Well, likewise, the ego comes to you for life and you give it all the life it has. The journey back is where you step back from giving it life to recognizing that you're the power. You are that which is valid, which the ego must borrow from in order to appear to have life. And you do not choose to energize it any further and confuse the whole situation. That's the journey back. Continuing, the ego's voice is a hallucination. You cannot expect it to say, "I am not real." Hallucinations are inaccurate perceptions of reality. See, the world and universe, and whatever you mean by those words, are an inaccurate description of the kingdom of heaven. And what you're describing, you're creating for yourself, and so you're having an hallucination about what? About reality, about the kingdom of heaven. Hallucinations are inaccurate perceptions of reality. Yet you are not asked to dispel them alone. You are merely asked to evaluate them in terms of their results to you. Well, that's what we've been talking about. You hit your head against a wall and you have a headache. Not too pleasing results, I would say. I feel a cold coming on and it comes on. Not too pleasing results, I would say. You've got to weigh the results. On the other hand, if you feel a cold coming on, as you put it, as you define it, remember, you're the one giving the words. You're the one giving the words that said, if you hit your head against a wall, you're going to get a headache. You gave it the words, but if you give it a different word, and there is no suffering from banging your head, and the cold doesn't come on, you have better results. And you need to pay attention to the results to see if you're getting what you want. Now, this isn't some spiritual, highfalutin stuff. This is down-to-earth, sensible, practical information, isn't it? You are merely asked to evaluate them in terms of their results to you. If you do not want them on the basis of loss of peace, meaning because you recognize that you will lose your peace, they will be removed from your mind for you. Now, listen to this. Every response to the ego is a call to war. You might have thought that more appropriately it would have said, every invitation from the ego is a call to war. Now, all the ego does is make suggestions, like a hypnotist. Your responses are a call to war because you're engaging with an illusion as though it's real, thereby giving it energy and seeming to make it real. And because it's a defense mechanism, it responds to you defensively. Every response to the ego is a call to war, and war does deprive you of peace. Yet in this war, there is no opponent. This is the reinterpretation of reality which you must make to secure peace, and the only one you need ever make. Oh, if you hit your head against the wall, you're going to get a headache. That's what the ego suggests. And if you say, well, everybody, we better not hit our head against a wall so we won't have a headache, you've responded to the ego. You've engaged. Instead of stepping away from it like you would a turd on the sidewalk. I feel a cold coming on. Be careful not to engage with it. Be careful not to engage with that suggestion. I know you think you said it. But when you hear those words in your mind, be alert. Challenge it. Correct it. Why, that suggestion is the biggest bunch of bullshit I ever heard, because colds don't have a life of their own. I would have to give it all the life it has, and I'm not going to do that. It's not the Father's will, and therefore it's not my will. And you be quick about it. You be quick about making the correction. You be glad enough to have the language of healing, the language of truth available to you, that you use it to correct these unkind and malicious suggestions that the ego makes solely for the purpose of creating conflict, so that you lose your peace, which is the condition for knowledge, the condition for knowing the truth. You know, you could say that I'm inviting, encouraging you to become active students of the Course. Nothing could be further from the truth. I'm encouraging you to become conscious, active Christs. I'm encouraging you to actively energize, we might say, what you divinely are. if you were going to become a student of truth, you would have to go to the teacher of truth, wouldn't you? Well, this is not the teacher of truth. This is a record of the teacher of truth, but the teacher of truth is the altar in you, is the Holy Spirit in you, that which is nothing more than your right mind. So that's where you go to be taught. And as I've said before, the wonder of the way it works is that you go to your essential being to be healed of the misperceptions you have developed about yourself and which you believe and trust and reinforce. You go to your very own divine being to be taught the truth so that you might come into the full conscious experience of it once again and lose your insanity, abandon your insanity, and become integrated, single, one, indivisible, undivided, as a conscious experience. I'm being rather pushy today. Like I'm saying, get your ass in gear. But what I'm doing is saying, in so many words, you're missing the joy that's yours by delaying your awakening, by justifying suffering, by justifying the dream, because after all, you're in the human condition, or you're in this lifetime, like some sort of a side trip from your birthright that you've got to live with until you get back on the main road. I'll tell you something. The kingdom of heaven is a wonderful insane asylum. Because everything about it constantly makes the inmates ill at ease with their definitions. It constantly gives you feedback that the way you're looking at things, the way you're thinking about things, the language you're using is falling short of your fulfillment. Why? So that you'll make a different choice. If I've made nothing else clear today, let this be what is clear. You will wake up here. You will make the journey back right where you are. So right where you are is where you will, as they say, come in contact with communicable diseases and not catch them. Right here is where you will slip and bump your head and have no injury. Or, if you don't catch it quickly, then you might find an injury which is almost instantaneously healed. Right here is where you will have the experience of the journey back. Right here is where you will have the experience of the experiential redefinition of matter into spirit. Right here, in the middle of the human condition, is where the kingdom of heaven will emerge in your conscious awareness. So don't delay by saying, well, what can you expect? You can expect miracles. But then you've got to implement your expectation by not lazily and sloppily going along with the old language of suffering. You see? I feel a cold coming on. Better get the echinacea. No? Ah, I feel a cold coming on. But my healing can be faster than the amount of time it takes to me to get to the echinacea, because I'm stepping back one step from that suggestion and saying, I don't buy it. I object. I correct this suggestion. I will not give it life by energizing it with my faith in what it's saying and the penalties that come along with believing it. I will not do that. Take the step back home immediately. Take the step back in the direction of home immediately. And have fun with it. One last thing. Right in the middle of your ignorance is where your enlightenment will come. So now you can say, well, what can I expect in the middle of my ignorance? Enlightenment. That's what you can expect. A sudden shift of perception. That doesn't leave you where it found you. That doesn't leave you where you thought you were. Okay. Please take what I'm saying to heart. Because there's absolutely nothing going on in the so-called human condition that can actually object to and stand in the way of sudden shifts of perception. If I continue any further, I will belabor the point. It's in your hands. It's in your mind. Which language are you going to use to think with? I love you all. P.S. Those in the insane asylum do not see the characteristic of their insanity. If they did, they could set it aside. And when they do, they will set it aside. I will not always address what you think you need to learn. I will not always address what you think you need to know. But I will always address exactly what needs to be known for your release from the insanity that you know not the characteristics of. The Holy Spirit works this way, and you must trust it. I look forward to being with you next week.